I want my kid to go, oh, I made a mistake. I can't wait to tell my dad. I can't imagine the first thought being, I can't wait to tell my dad. If you make a big, big mistake, big mistake, big mistake, you wouldn't tell anyone. I can't wait to tell my dad. That's always been my dream. And I design almost everything around that dream. Oh, I made a big mistake. I can't wait to tell my dad. Hi, everybody, and welcome to another podcast. This week, we have a special episode for you. We do weekly coaching calls, and at the beginning of each call, Sujai and I both give a talk about some gentle parenting concept. Today, I talked about taking kids' ideas seriously and how important that is, and I wanted to share it with you. So let's just jump right into it. Here's what one of our typical coaching calls is like. Welcome to the coaching call, everybody. Glad to have you here for another Monday. I really enjoy these Monday evenings with you. I love it because I love the community feeling that we have between us. You know, we all know how hard it is what we're doing. And we all hear each other in our struggles and we hold space for it because our struggles are also pretty big struggles. And we are pretty good. I think we're pretty good at holding a non-judgmental space, you know. And it's something that both Sujai and I value very deeply, is that non-judgmental space, because we're trying to learn and we're trying to grow and we're trying to change old patterns. And so I think that's really important for us. That's really important for us to be kind to each other as we practice being kind to ourselves. And so I think that's one of the reasons I like these calls, is we get a chance to come together and hold that empathetic space, that caring space, so that we can look at ourselves and we can say, hey, how can I get more in alignment with my values and my ideals and the way that I want to parent and the way that I want to be with myself, you know, myself and my kid, and the way I walk in the world, that whole thing, because that's what we do. And so today I'm going to talk about taking kids' ideas seriously. And this is something that's really important to me on a personal level and when I understand the way kids' minds develop. And I like to talk about some important, what I consider important, I think it's all important, idea about gentle parenting before we get into the coaching call. And I'm going to spend about 10, 15, 20 minutes doing that. And then we'll move on into the coaching part of the call, where you get a chance to ask questions or talk about something that's happening in your life. So as I said, I want to talk about taking kids' ideas seriously. And it's a very common thing in mainstream way of treating kids, that their ideas are seen as cute at best a lot of the time and an inconvenience at worst, or even problematic. And I remember many, many times as a kid coming up with an idea or a different way of seeing things that may have been different from how the adults saw things, and put down a lot of the time for it, you know. And every single time it happened, I felt it. And this evening, my wife has this game on her phone that she's like, you mix up, the letters are all mixed up and you have to unscramble them and find the letters. And so they give you 8 letters and you have to find like 10 words, and they're all different lengths and they all intersect with each other, and it's fun. And she loves it. And then when she's stuck on a word, she comes to me and she's like, Vivek, can you get the last couple of the words, like the pinch hitter in the baseball game or something? And so I figure out the word, and the word today was lettuce. And I was so happy. I said, hey, it's lettuce, L-E-T-T-U-C-E. And she goes, yeah. And I said, let us pray. And she laughed and she said, oh, what's that? That sounds like a joke your dad would have told. I said, it totally is. It actually was his mom had it on her wall back when I was a such a little kid. And the joke was, the teacher says, Johnny, could you please make a sentence with the word lettuce? And he says, sure, teacher, let us pray. And then she like crosses her arms like, oh, Johnny, what are we going to do with you? And I remember when I was a kid, and I said this to my wife at the moment, I remember when I was a kid thinking, wow, that's a fascinating way to use words. I can really see how enjoyable it would be to be able to use words and make them crisp this way and cross that way and intersect this way and intersect that way. And I had this really beautiful epiphany. And suddenly I looked around at all the adults in my life and I thought, there's nobody I could tell this to that would that would really celebrate this with me. You know, I knew that that anywhere I went, I feared being misunderstood, being minimized. I knew it. And I was young. I was young having thoughts like that, you know, but I was used to those kind of I was used to being brushed off. And we don't really, really, really realize we do it because a lot of the time the things our kids say are pretty preposterous to us from an adult perspective. But it's just that's just the thing, right? We see it from an adult perspective and we forget the reality of our children, the worldview of our children. It's so different. This perspective taking thing is challenging, you know, and for some people it's more challenging than others. But being able to consciously choose to take the perspective of our kids and to see the world from their eyes, as in how big everything is and new everything is. And, you know, all these norms that we think are just given, they're not so given, you know? And so a lot of the times when I had ideas and they were pushed away, it made it feel like I didn't have a safe place to explore those things. So I did a lot of that exploring inwardly. I had to pull it inward, you know? And I mean, it's not a bad thing. It's part of my personality and I love that part of myself. It's not that it's a bad thing. It's that the way it came about was because I didn't have a safe place. I could have developed that skill and done it with a safe place to be able to express myself and also had a different way as well, right? It's not that I would take that away from me. But there's a stuff I didn't get a chance to explore. And that's, to me, that's deep. Thinking about that is deep, you know? And so for me, I really want to take kids seriously. And I was saying to my wife this, I was like, I don't want any kid to ever feel I don't take their ideas seriously. I said, I won't do it. I won't do it. And I got all preachy. And she's like, yes, I know, Vivek, I know. I was like, okay, good, okay. And we were laughing. And so, you know, this is, I often think about Let Us Pray, you know, I think about Let Us Pray all the time because of that, because of how deep it was for me. Another example of it, and I wrote about this years ago on one of my drawings, when I actually put a picture of me that I drew. I drew a picture of a person when I was like Charlie Brown, I think, when I was like 3 years old. And I remember drawing that picture, and in my head, as a three-year-old, I remember thinking it was completely lifelike. It was to the last detail I could see. It looked exactly like a person. And I know as an adult, if you look at that picture, you'd think, Vivek, there's no way. Like, you'd have to literally warp reality into little bits and pieces. But I'm telling you, I remember as a three-year-old looking at that picture and thinking it was exactly like a human. Because kids see things differently a lot of the time than we do. You know, and their minds work differently a lot of the time than we do. And it's hard for us to really remember that. And so I always also thought, when a kid tells me they see this particular thing, I want them to think I believe them. I want them to feel I believe them. And this is so important. And this is why I think taking kids' ideas seriously is such a profound practice. And it's a practice. And I say it's a practice because maybe it's something that isn't natural, right? And so then if something isn't natural, but we want to be good at it, then we practice. So I think that's reasonable. So here are a few of the ideas about why this is important, why it's important to take kids' ideas seriously. So first one, obviously what I explained is about safety, right? Having them feel safe coming to us with their ideas, with their thoughts. Not wanting to feel alone in their processes and their discovery of the world. Another one is that it affects their relationship with themselves, because kids, when they have those ideas, when they have epiphanies, when they have realizations about things, it's more than just an intellectual thing. It's part of their beingness being formed. Like, you have to get that, right? It's part of their being is being formed. I can't really say that without using the word being twice. Their beingness, their self-concept at a very deep level is being formed by how we reflect back to them. That's why kids share so profoundly, you know. The other day, so one thing I do is I because I'm a dancer, when I get off the couch, I don't just get off the couch. I usually go upside down and I flip upside down and my legs are in the air and I've like twirl around and I get off the couch. And I love doing it. If you haven't seen my couch video, you should look through my videos on my personal page. And I slither around on couches and stuff. So I remember just a few days ago, I was upside down and I had hit this beautiful balance point and I was really enjoying it. And I was calling out to my wife to come and look. And I suddenly noticed I had this childlike urgency to be seen in this beautiful creative moment. And she didn't hear me. And I was so upset, you know, I was really upset. And I was actually upset at her. She was doing dishes. She didn't hear me, right? There's no reason. She would just come and say, oh, that's great, Vivek. And she's good at that. But I was upset. Even when I knew she didn't hear me, I still was upset because it was the four-year-old in me, right? And I mean, fortunately, I'm practiced enough that I could identify the four-year-old and I didn't project it on her. Thank goodness for small moments of self-awareness. Because if I had projected it on her, she'd be like, what's going on? And I have, so I know. But anyways, the fact is that relationship with self, like there's this thing inside of me that just like wanted to be seen. And kids are like that with their ideas. It's more than just the idea. It's their sense of themselves that they're reaching out to you for, right? So we have a lot to do with the relationship they have with themselves. Not everything. There's lots of other influences. And those things we can mitigate and we can help work around if they're problematic influences. But the thing is, the main area we have influence is our choices, you know, how we interact with them, the lens that we choose to wear. You know, as I say that, I'm putting my hands to my eyes like glasses, like lenses. I do this with the kids. I say, hey, what lens are you wearing? Are you wearing a compassion lens or a prejudice lens? And it's up to you. You have the choice. And the kids are like, yeah. Ah, what about a collaboration lens? I had a kid say, what about a collaboration lens? I said, yes, I love a collaboration lens. I love getting the chance to work with the kids when we do, I do anti-racism workshops with the kids, right? So the other thing is, then it's about the next thing is, so that's about the relationship with self. Another is about our idea, about our ideas, like how we think about our ideas. What they're worth, you know, like I know people who have brilliant ideas, but then they hold them back thinking, oh, I'm stupid. Nobody wants to hear my idea. And then they say it, everybody's like, whoa, let's do that, right? And then they're like, oh, really? You like my idea? And yeah, that's brilliant. And then they forget the next time. Yes, I'm talking about you. You know who I'm talking about. And then, but we get that idea early on. That's imprinted. Of course it's imprinted. Of course we think that, you know? So how do we get around that? Of course, then we reparent ourselves by doing what I'm saying right now, what I want us to do with our kids, I want us to do to ourselves too, right? To give, that's why we do the self-affirmation meditation. You know, so we can practice saying those things to ourselves, the kind thing. So that's the worthiness of our ideas, so that we can feel we have something to contribute, you know, and that sense of being worthy to contribute. So another thing is about how the mind works. So a lot of the way kids learn about how the mind works comes from, again, the early reflections and the early investigations that they do with us. As we ourselves are growing and learning. And so they're learning about how their mind works. It's like my one-liner that said, I didn't teach my daughter what to think, I taught her how to think, you know, and that's one of her favorite one-liners. She's so grateful for that, you know, because she knows she doesn't have to think like I think. She knows that. And she knows that I value it when she thinks differently than me. So she's free to think like me when she does and not when she doesn't. And it's never really about having to like, she doesn't have to think different just to assert herself. She thinks different because she actually thinks different. And that's perfect. That's what I want. I want her to think different if she actually thinks different, not because she has to protect herself. And there's a subtle difference there, right? One is resistance and one is authenticity. And I would rather have her authenticity if it's different than her compliance just to be the same if it's not authentic. But then when we are aligned, then it's real. Yeah. And then it has a life of its own. It's not about her being in line, acting in line, That's not the kind of relationship I want with one of the deepest relationships I have. No, thank you. You know, but you just look on a parenting post. Look at Sujai's post about kids and their possessions and GPU right now and how much kind of that harsh separation, I'm the boss mentality that comes out from a post like that. It activates people, you know, because they don't have the experience of the collaboration from their own youth. Their ideas weren't taken seriously in this way, right? So this is about how the mind works, right? Teaching how the mind works, how thinking works, right? So when a kid says, we could go to the moon, and then you're like, yeah, and you say, no, we can't get to the moon, kiddo, but we could try something else. Then the process of coming up with the idea of going to the moon, that process doesn't get to be explored, doesn't get to be cemented in, doesn't get to be validated, right? Because it's quite a brilliant process. Because if the kid is thinking, like, let's say that they think, how can we get away from the coronavirus? Let's go to the moon. So then we can't go to the moon. You and I know that. I'm not going to the moon anytime soon. Here I am on my couch. I'm not going to the moon. So the idea is not going to work. But the idea of changing locations, the idea of employing technology, the idea of thinking creatively out of the box, you know, there's so many beautiful things we can celebrate about the idea and go, yeah, the moon. Imagine if we could go to the moon and build a whole structure there and we could like clean the air and then everybody there would get along and we could create a whole society on the moon. I bet you that will happen one day. Yeah, I bet that'll happen one day. And all of a sudden there's like this beautiful connection happening, right? So this is about how the mind works, how to explore how the mind works, how thinking works, how to explore the way ideas can turn into things, you know, and what a great opportunity that is. So taking kids' ideas seriously doesn't always mean you follow the idea, especially if it's going to the moon, you know, or buy a horse. It doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to happen. I mean, great if you can buy the horse. But a lot of the time it's not just that. A lot of the time it's getting into it with them, is helping them feel really seen around it, helping them feel an experience of connection and exploring the idea and it meaning something to you. Their idea meaning something to you means something to them. For them to know that their idea affects you, right? Then it's a relational thing too. You know, they understand that they have an impact on other people. And then they start to care about that impact. So I've got two more. Another one is relationship with mistakes. So it's a big thing about relationship with mistakes. When kids say ideas and we respond in ways that imply that there's some wrongness, that it's wrong, that they're wrong, then what happens is they get an association relational complaint, relational abandonment, relational criticism, relational disconnection when they make a mistake, when they say something that's not really that's not right, that's not valid, right? So then mistakes are to be avoided because they come accompanied with disconnection, they come accompanied with pain. I want mistakes to be accompanied with more connection, so that they get leaned into and then we can learn from them together. I want my kid to go, oh, I made a mistake. I can't wait to tell my dad. I can't imagine the first thought being, I can't wait to tell my dad. If you make a big, big mistake, big mistake, big mistake, you wouldn't tell anyone. I can't wait to tell my dad. That's always been my dream. And I design almost everything around that dream. Oh, I made a big mistake. I can't wait to tell my dad. And then past that, we help kids learn courage. Because when kids have that confidence in themselves, when they feel that their contributions matter, when they feel that their voice matters, then they end up having courage. And courage is something this world needs a lot of. And I want my kid to know their own principles, to know their values, and to have the courage to follow them, even when it's challenging. You know, not my values, her values. And I want her to have that courage and to do it in the way that's authentic for her. So that's why taking kids' ideas seriously is so important. All right. So let me give you a few ideas of things you can say with your kids that that help them feel like you're taking what they say seriously. So you got a general idea from the example I gave about the rocket ship and the moon, right? And you go into it and you talk about it and you explore it. So here are a few sentences you can say. Just start it off, especially if you're not sure how to respond at first, just to get the ball rolling. My favorite one, the first one, it's my favorite one, and I talk about it all the time. Five words. That's interesting. Tell me more. And I love that. I say it all the time. That's interesting. Tell me more. And when you say that, kids are like, you know, very happy to tell you more. Of course they've got more. And so the next one, yes, I love that idea. And you can follow that with, tell me more, you know, or how are we going to go about doing that? Or, geez, I can see like, this is going to be a real adventure putting that idea together. Or, I can see 10 different ways we can approach this. You know, like there's different ways you can follow up with. But first, yes, I love that idea. Even if it's like, I don't even know, like something you really don't love. Yes. Okay, another one. Oh, that's an interesting way of looking at it. I'd love that. Oh, that's such an interesting way of looking at it. A purple dog? Really? I never thought of that before. Purple dog. Purple dog. And that's the other one. I never thought of that before. I like that one. It's so good for kids. Because then they get so happy about that. Because they added to your knowledge. I never thought of that before. Huh? Really? I never thought. What? Really? Huh? You mean there's little animals hiding in Christmas trees? I never thought of that. That's so interesting. Oh, your Legos come alive at night? Really? Really? I never thought of that before. So that's, I don't know. Another way, I remember when my kid came to me when she was in elementary school, must have been grade 4. Eyes wide, serious as could be. Oh, my heart melting when I think of it. Dad, there's this bush in the playground and all the kids say it's haunted and we saw a spirit there and there's like a hole in the fence and the spirit goes in and out and we've seen it. And I was like, oh my God, let's go check it out. And she was like, yeah. And so we went to the playground. I don't remember. We got on our bikes or the skateboards or whatever. And we went to the playground. She showed me the bush. And she said, dude, this is where it was. I said, oh my gosh, it must have been amazing. And I never for a moment even gave a hint of a thought that I didn't think it was real. I 100% believed it was real. And I actually believe it was probably real because I know kids see things that adults don't. So I actually went even far enough to like bring it right into my nervous system. I believe this, you know, and she felt it, you know. And that kind of thing stays with the kid. It stays with them. It stays with them deep, 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 deep. Another one I like to say to kids is, you've given me something to think about. Isn't that good? Doesn't that feel good? Ah, yeah. You're not agreeing. Do you see? Sometimes you don't want to agree. That's okay. But don't disagree. Embrace it. Open. Be open. Embracing. Oh, yeah. You've given me something to think about. And hear the tone, right? Like I'm really getting into it. I'm really letting it. It's almost sing song. Yeah, you're giving me something to think about. Yeah. Thanks, kiddo. Yeah, I really appreciate that. Like, feel it, right? And the gratitude is like oozing out of me, right? The gratitude for this. And I'm not faking it. Like, when my kid shares something to me, I know she's accessing her unique wisdom. I want that. Of course I want that. And I want her to know I want that. I mean it. It's genuine, you know? Another one is, that's so creative. That's so creative. Yeah, that's a creative way of looking at it. That's a creative approaching it. Yeah, I really like that. That's out of the box. A lot of people wouldn't think of it that way. I like thinking that way. I like the way you think. I like that thinking process, because then you're pointing to the thinking process, right? You can throw in lessons without them knowing you're throwing. I like that thinking process, because you know, a thinking process is really important. It's important to have a thinking process. A lot of people just think. They don't know they're thinking, but to actually think, that's something to think about. And then the kid's laughing at this point, right? And And so this is how we establish our role as guides with our kids through this patient process. And then, you know, humor is a huge part of it. A huge, huge part of it. Humor is a huge, huge part of it. Even when I was a martial arts teacher, I used humor all the time to correct my students. Because I had to do a lot of correcting, you know, your knee and your back and your leg and your head and your shoulders and your arm and your elbow and your wrist and your hand and your fingers and your breath. And then your knees again. So when I like my students to feel good about the corrections. I don't want them to feel bad about them. So I'd always make jokes with them. And once they would get comfortable with me and they know my style, I would say something like, they would do something and I'd go, that is absolutely wonderful and completely wrong. It's wrong, but it's absolutely wonderful. And I loved it. And everybody looked around and said, didn't y'all love it? And everybody's like, yeah, we loved it. I said, okay, that was wrong though. And everybody's laughing and laughing. Nobody feels bad about it, you know? So then we can talk, we can like create a whole culture of, being able to be joyful as we look at the impact of our choices and how we work with things. And so much of it starts with the layers that we add on, building the layers of trust and embracing by taking our kids' ideas seriously so that they really feel us. And that's all I wanted to say about that. It's a deep one. It's an important one. And I hope that y'all can take it to heart, find ways to practice it in your own lives. And so that's it, everybody. If anybody's listening to this in the future, not on the live call, this was on a coaching call. And what we're going to do now is each person is going to get a chance to share something from their own lives, something they're going through, something they're thinking about, a situation perhaps that maybe you're struggling with, or something that you did and you're not sure if you responded the best way, and you want to know, is there a different way to respond? It could be something that your kids are going through and you want to be able to support them. And it can also be something that worked out really well for you and you just want to share it with everybody, because that can be really empowering as well. And then I'll give a response, I'll share a response. And then if anybody from the community has ideas, you can add it into the chat, because we love to learn from everyone. Everyone has their own experience as well. And then we'll move on to the next person. Everyone gets about 10 or 15 minutes. Thanks, everybody. I'm glad you had a chance to see what one of our coaching calls is like. If you want to join us in our parent support space, Sujai and I do weekly coaching calls and meditations and live classes, kind of like this one. And it's really a beautiful space to deepen your gentle parenting practice. So if you want to join us, go to gentleparentsunite.com/membership, and we'd love to see you over there. And that's it. Thank you very much, everybody. Keep an eye out for the next podcast. I'm going to be sending out more and more little short ones like this, so that we keep sending you information and ideas that can be helpful to you in your parenting. See you next week.